Well, thank you for joining us today for the Tech Bytes podcast, sponsored by Dell Technologies and Startup Nation. My name is Megan Wright, and I'll be your host today. And I'm pleased to introduce our guest and my counterpart for today's session, Matt Papendorf, Senior Advisor and OEM Security Brand Manager at Dell Technologies. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate being here. I've been at Dell for about 7 years now, and my role specifically is to work alongside our strategic partnership teams here, educating all those who work within and want to work with Dell about security measures, and I believe that's what we're going to be covering today. So I'm your go-to person. Megan, I know you have some questions for us, so I'm ready to start when you're ready to start.
All right. Well, I think that sounds great, so let's go ahead and get started. And, you know, I think the best place to start for our listeners today is just to get a pulse check on the landscape of threats currently in the market. So what's it looking like out there?
Great place to start. So we at Dell measure a lot of activities that happen internally within our customers, but as well as kind of the network and what we're seeing in the industry. And three main points, I guess, kind of to start. Digital activity is on the rise. And I know that sounds pretty, you know, straightforward, but we measured 2019 to 2020, and obviously 2021 just finished. So we'll get some data aggregated around that. But what we're starting to see is global internet users and global technology users are, you know, using their devices at about 10% more per year. And we anticipate with this year coming to a close, we'll see an increase in that point as well. Secondarily, the internet is starting to become a little bit more of a risky environment. Most consumers out there kind of universally agree that they are worried about personal theft around their data and fraudulent access to accounts. I know some of our listeners maybe have experienced it themselves. But as a whole, we recognize that as we're using our devices much more and interacting with the web at that rate, you know, our digital footprint or fingerprint, whatever you use, and call this out here, it's getting bigger, and we're putting ourselves more at risk. And we're starting to realize that data protection, this third point, is starting to become a priority for all of our customers, as well as our small business users, as they work and build their business as well. So we're starting to realize that, you know, personal information and the security around it is starting to become the number one factor around financial and banking information, data protection, identity information protection. So it's a talking point that I think is a lot on out of our consumers' minds. And that being said, we as small business owners need to keep that in mind as well, because as long as we are working through a secure environment and making sure our customers are protected, it's going to be a great way to kind of move forward and make sure we are all doing business correctly in a safe way.
You know, that's just, it's such good information. I think end of the day, and you know, to kind of summarize, we should be a little worried. You should have some concern about this and with the spike in usage digitally. So that's really good to know. And you mentioned, you know, the pandemic. So are there any new threats that have been introduced since the pandemic kind of started and has hit?
Oh, absolutely. We're tracing, and I know this number sounds kind of threatening, but we're tracing around 6 new threats per second. And that's universally. We recognize over last year, malware or malicious software, that term, we've seen an increase year over year about 30%. And specifically around the COVID pandemic environment, I know a lot of folks, you know, universally have had to adjust to the work from home space. And it's not just the work that they do, but that also has affected kind of their lifestyle. So the three areas that we're starting to see a lot of hazards, I guess you can say, around that COVID environment is in the healthcare industry, banking and financial, and then also around education. So when you think about healthcare, we saw that become about 58% more hazardous as far as traffic goes, because long and short, hackers or you know, viruses are starting to become more geared towards areas where people focus more of their time. So obviously, people are interested in taking care of their health and wellness, whether it is finding information around, you know, family health, or, you know, information about pandemic, or if they have the sniffles or what have you. So they're going to these sites and they're trying to find information for their health benefits. Hackers follow that traffic. So we're starting to realize that those URLs and those websites that people go for information on that are starting to carry cookies, and hackers are targeting them. And when individuals put personal information on those sites, they're starting to put themselves at risk because of it. Same thing with financial and banking. We saw an increase in that about 15%. You know, I know there's been stimulus checks being released. People are interested in their stocks or Bitcoin, or, you know, whether they're tracking their 401k in a certain way. Same behavior. Hackers are aware of the fact that, you know, people are taking those stimulus checks or following their banking information, and they're finding ways to put code and viruses in sites that we would go to as well. And I think the one thing that I think people should probably think about is school and education. We saw an uptick of around 11% in that. And when you think about it, we had all our children doing remote learning. Everybody, had to figure out kind of a scramble of how are we going to keep our children, technologically connected to the school. So they're giving them personal laptops or work laptops and what have you, and downloading programs and apps to keep the kids, in the school program. And in doing so, kids aren't always the best at making sure that they're practicing good, clean internet security behavior. So they're clicking on apps they shouldn't or going to sites they shouldn't as well. And again, it's just opening up for, threats to come onto the system through all of these areas. So really, it's scary out there. There's a lot more malicious URLs, and it's because of just this new environment we're kind of having to force ourselves to be into.
Wow. I mean, it's just so, it's shocking, but also not shocking at the same time. But just to hear that these threats are in almost every element of your everyday life, just like you mentioned. It's in the business, anything that you're doing within your digital footprint of your business, your personal life, your kiddos' lives. It's just something to really be hyper aware of. And this kind of brings me to my next question. I know you touched on it a little bit, just talking about and mentioning some of the industries, but how does this affect our small businesses, entrepreneurs, and startups? Like our Startup Nation community, how does this all affect those different pockets?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I kind of did the scary stuff up front. There's more threats out there, and hackers are trying to find ways, not just with this new work from home environment, whatnot, but basically targeting customers. And I think what our, small business entrepreneur, startup customers here who are listening to this podcast need to understand is they're not going to be able to get away from this. So really, we need to understand the hackers' behaviors and how they are, our small business customers here are a threat. So first and foremost, hackers like to prey on the weak. This is something that I like to educate here at Dell quite a bit. I use the term weak, just kind of casually, but nonprofits, startups, entrepreneurs, they don't always have the same level of equipment or IT personnel to create a large or robust security network. So you're a small business, in theory, you have 10 customers, maybe the CEO or the manager is the one who is, managing all of the IT for that, compared to a large corporation like a Target or a Citibank or what have you, where they have a dedicated IT, infrastructure set in place. Hackers know this, so it is a lot easier for them to go after our small business customers. In fact, about 70% of our security breaches happen to smaller organizations because hackers understand it's much easier to get into them. Secondarily, although they are smaller in kind of just, number of individuals, they still have relevant information in there. Their customer base may be dynamically smaller than a Target, for example, but they still have credit card information. They still have banking records, social security numbers of the customer base that, they're working with. And just because it may be a little bit, fewer in number, they can target way more small businesses and entrepreneurs and get easier access to that than spending all their time going after one, data cache. That being said, we see a lot of credit card breaches from Visa. Almost 95% of them are coming from our smallest business customers. So hackers are finding a way. And the thing that I like to tell our customers in my training is we need to think beyond the hack. Among small businesses and startup owners that suffer a breach, staggering 60% of them go out of business after 6 months. And that's not because of the breach of data, it's what happens afterwards. So for example, if you are a startup and you're working with 100 customers and you're getting your business off the ground and there's a hack, well, you can recoup that data, you can recoup that customer information that's lost, and everybody, through insurance or through cost of, recouping that in itself, you can kind of get your business back on your feet. However, we live our lives based off of Google ratings, based off of word of mouth, based off of how many stars you have, on Yelp. And that being said, if you're trying to get your business off the ground and you suffer a hack, that 6 month window, you're going to lose all your customers. No one wants to work with business X or Y if they can't protect the transactions or the identity of their customers. And that's where we see this breach really affect folks who are, in this space with the startups and the small businesses, is it's not so much just that the hack happened. It's you have to understand that your small customer base that you've been building will not come back. and that can truly hurt your business. So I think to answering your question, beyond the scary hacks, we need to start thinking about protecting our livelihood, because for our small business customers and our startups, this is what you put all your energy into. So we want to make sure that we have a security solution in place that protects probably your most vital asset, your business.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, to hear what that ripple effect can really do is really eye-opening for sure. So now that we know kind of the why of it all, I'm curious to know about the where. If you're a small business just starting out, where is the best place to look?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of sites. I mean, you could go to where I like to tell a lot of my customers and the folks that I work with is look at the well-known review sites, Consumer Reports, CNET. They do annual reviews on, you know, third-party software options out there. I know you have your Nortons and your McAfees and your AVGs and things like that. They do reviews of all of these products out there. And if you're just looking for a tight software solution, they will give you the best bet as far as what is working that year and how to go about achieving it. You can also lean on experts that you are working with. I got to plug Dell here, but we have a partner management team, and they do a great job of reviewing your portfolio. If you're working alongside us, they have options internally that they will offer and kind of get you onboarded with to make sure that we find the right security package for you. But lastly, talk to your peers in the industry. I think this is probably one of the best areas to go to. If you're involved in any entrepreneur groups or you have peers that you lean on for advice or, you know, career building in any way, and maybe there's a business similar to you that you lean on for advice, see what worked for them. Or even your customers for that matter. If you just achieved a large account, you want to understand how to protect them, ask them what they use. See if you can align your security business to theirs. And in doing so, it becomes synced in such a way where you're making sure that everything is protected in-house. There's a lot of experience out there. And if you just kind of start those conversations and understand what works for what type of other small businesses that are related to you, I think you're going to find a wealth of information just talking to your peers.
That's great. You know, and I think that's something too. Startup Nation has such an amazing community, and you really do need to lean on that community and find these resources and take best practices from, fellow entrepreneurs, fellow startups that have seen some success. And so this is, it's not, you know, missing from this element of your business either. So that's really great to know. And, you know, kind of a spin-off question. Not every small business has a dedicated IT person or even sometimes, you know, that technical know-how to set up their new security package. And you kind of mentioned this earlier, you know, not everyone has that go-to person. So what should be that small business or entrepreneur or startup's next steps there?
I would probably take an inventory of what you think you need. And I know this may be a little bit homework on your own personal end, but there's a lot of security packages in the market that will have a lot of additives and maybe more bulk than you need in your security solution. So really understand, are you working with remote, you know, customers? Do you need something in-house that protects transactions? Do you have employees that are going to be working remotely so that maybe you'll be looking for a secure Wi-Fi connection and utilizing a VPN or portability security? All of those things, you know, there are options available out there and helping to find the right security solution for you. So do the internal homework, see what you need and kind of checklist it from there. That way, when you sit down with your peers or you sit down with your, partners here within this network or within Dell or wherever you may go for your information, you at least have that, you know, list of like, hey, I have X employees doing this and I run this program in my company to do that. You'll be much more educated. And I think in doing that homework, you're going to find, again, that right security package to kind of kick it off. That way you're getting the right solution from the get-go instead of having to backtrack and figure something else out, you know, before it's too late or before you get too big in your business. And then you got to figure out something new. So long and short, do a little bit of homework. And I think that will kind of put your foot forward in the right way.
I love that. And so to kind of, you know, shift the conversation a little bit, I think something that is so relevant currently in current times is protection around mobile devices. So I can, you know, speak from personal experience that I'm seeing a lot of our customers and partners moving towards tablets and phone usage for most of their business needs. And so we at Dell partner with McAfee personally and use it in-house and as well as offering it to our customers. And I've noticed a lot of customers asking about what to do around mobile security and mobile devices.
Oh, I mean, I'm raising my hand and sitting here. It's a concern on my plate. And I can, everybody, probably you, Megan, and everybody's listening to this podcast, like our phone is probably 3 feet away from us at most times, if not using this mobile device to listen to this podcast. So it has very much ingrained itself in our livelihood. That being said, mobile malware or mobile security is definitely something we need to keep an eye on as we move into this new year. From 2020 to 2021, we saw a 71% increase in mobile malware specifically. And just to kind of put a little dot around that, I think for the most part, traditionally, and these are broad brush statements, but traditionally, most folks understand, hey, you have a computer, you need to protect it with security. But we've started to transition to a mobile workforce where we are using tablets and phones to do same type of, communication or checking work emails or Salesforce activities or what have you. And those mobile devices now have the same computing power as a lot of the laptops that we use in the industry, but we are not translating the same level of protection onto those devices. And those devices talk to each other all the time. And plus, they're on mobile Wi-Fi networks constantly. I know for myself, I do Dell work on my mobile devices, and I have to put in security to make sure that I'm not doing something, unfortunately, that would translate back over to my work PC. So long and short, we need to start recognizing that our mobile devices, we need to treat them like that home PC or that office PC and get a security solution on those devices to make sure that when they talk or you pass files back and forth, that you're not, opening the door to potential risk getting into your home office system through a mobile device. Similarly, something going back to some of the previous questions I answer, a lot of the security solutions out there in the marketplace have mobile-ready protection built in. They understand that this is kind of the direction we're all going. So if you are in a place where you're trying to figure out what's the best solution for me and I'm just getting started, asking those, peers or those leaders in the industry as you're, trying to build this, what does your mobile protection look like and is it scalable? Because as you grow in a company, as you are continually getting new customers or new employees, you want to make sure that what you have is going to not only supply for you the security you need for today, but be able to scale with the mobile devices that you may be using in the future, as well as giving you that protection you need with your home PC or your office PC. So long and short, keep that in mind, and understand that this isn't going away. We should be very mobile, security minded for probably the future, because that's going to be the way we go.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that, speaks to work from anywhere. I think that's been a phrase that's been thrown out so often, but it's so true. And that work from anywhere is enabling yourself with your own personal device and your phone. So it's something to consider and something to take very serious. And so beyond the device coverage, what about brands and providers? I keep hearing that Windows, which we basically, all use or a large amount of us, or similar OS providers say their in-house option is efficient enough. So how do we approach that thought?
Yeah, I ironically, I sit on a lot of customer calls and I have this kind of asked for it to be quite a bit. First and foremost, any security is better than no security. There are solutions on the market that tend to be a little bit more robust or a little bit more well-rounded for what you may need. But first and foremost, just make sure you have a security solution in place. So if somebody says, I don't want anything, that's where I'll raise the eyebrow and say, okay, we got a problem here. But you bring up the point about Windows and Microsoft, which I think is a very fair fact. A lot of OS providers have something built in, and it's usually a bare bones solution, maybe a firewall and an antivirus solution, and it just kind of protects what's on the system, and that's about it. Again, better than nothing, but if you're really trying to scale and understand that you're going to be doing transactional business on your mobile devices, or you're going to be transferring data between different sites, or you need something to protect mobile employees, you really should get a dedicated AV solution or dedicated security solution that's going to scale across just what's on that solution. Most dedicated OS providers, that Windows protection is for that system and that system alone, and it doesn't go across, creating a network. So I would make sure that as you're building this out, that you get a security provider that focuses just on that. Again, I mentioned a lot of third-party solutions out there. Talk to the CNETs, talk to your peers, things of that nature. I know at Dell, we exclusively use McAfee, which scales with the growth of systems, and it's built to protect as you grow. A lot of solutions in the market do that. My guess, my recommendation is understand that you're going to want a solution that's going to scale with you. And a lot of times those OS providers, it only works with the system that you have. So keep that in mind as you're kind of shopping around for a solution.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's really good to know. And so, I have myself used these in the past. So what about the free solutions that we see out there? And, how does that work out for a small business owner or a startup?
Yeah. I'm sitting here nodding my head. You can't see it, but I've used the free ones in the past too. There's no such thing as free. And when I mean that, it's you have to understand what these free programs are doing is they're scraping demographic data. And in doing so, maybe we may not care that that goes out there, but still, that's how they leverage that free concept. But also, these free solutions that you may get out there, there's a few things to consider. First off, they're very scaled down. It's usually maybe just a firewall or an antivirus scanning solution or something of that nature. And if a virus does hit you, it is going to be hard to remove. These systems are free and they're not built to be robust to quarantine and remove the solution from the virus so you can kind of, dissect it and get it off your system. A lot of times you're going to have to call the 1-800 number or the help chat or what have you, and they're going to charge you to remove it. That's how they make their money, off of the demographic scrapings and also charging you if there's a virus to be removed. So you're never going to get away with kind of a free offering. Additionally, you can build a suite of, a free solution for antivirus, a free solution for mobile security, a free solution for, firewall, what have you. What happens when you, put a lot of these AV solutions or these third-party solutions on your system, they don't always talk to each other, and they may shut each other down to run the scans in the background, so it's never running in full force. So it leaves holes in your security network, which is terrifying. So best bet, avoid the free. I always tell this with my small business customers and the startups that I work with through the Dell sales team is be proactive. If you really are thoughtful enough to think like, hey, I never want to have to think about this, spend a little money up front, invest in a strong security solution, get something that fits for you, that will scale for you. And in truth, being proactive in that way and getting something that's dedicated to fit your security lifestyle, you're not going to worry about it when something hits, because inevitably something is going to hit and you want to be protected ahead of time instead of looking back going, 6 months ago, why'd I go with the free stuff? I should have had something in place.
Yeah. And I think entrepreneurs and startups and small business owners, they would appreciate that peace of mind. That's really the last thing that you need to be worrying about whenever you need to be taking care of your customers and taking care of your employees and worrying about 100 million other things. So I think that's really great advice. And I do want to give a moment, let's give some love to our Mac users out there. Do they need to also be concerned about the same level and frequency of threats as a PC user?
Absolutely. I know there's kind of a thought out there that Apple products tend to be a little bit more secure, so I don't need to worry about it. Hackers are not dumb. No one ever said they were, but they understand not just by share of systems in the marketplace, but they understand that Apples can be hacked and it's easier to get into those users as well. So they're not, Apple users and Mac users are not, not ever going to be threatened with a hacker in that sense. It's what they need to understand is they need to protect kind of the systems from themselves. So it is true that Macs, and I have an iPhone, I'm raising my hand here, we tend to use programs through their iCloud and their App Store. So everything that we install on our systems through Apple tends to be cleaned and, set up in a proper way. However, so we can promise, that those programs are not going to be affecting our system as we're using them, or apps on our phones as we're using them. So it's good. But what they don't do is they don't protect our systems from us. So yes, I'm using clean apps and I'm using my phone. I can still surf around the net. I can still try and open pages from websites that might have a cookie on them, or click on a link that could hack into my calendar or my email or something like that. So it's the same kind of mindset of, yes, this system is a little bit cleaner, but I need to protect it from me. I'm going to open an email, a phishing scam email, if I'm looking through my, you know, inbox, and potentially that could go to my work PC if I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. So I would treat all Apple products the same way I would treat all open source Android and PCs out there. Don't leave holes in your security network. And I've kind of said that already, but just because you're using a different computer and a different operating system, you still need to have a level of security, because even if a virus doesn't come on with a software, it could happen through you just clicking errantly through around the web and accidentally put something on your solution. So get security.
At the end of the day, that's the message here.
Yes, at the end of the day, get security.
Yes. Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, protection, you know, goes beyond just having a strong security solution. But are there any other ways or paths to take to make sure that your small business is just 100% absolutely secure?
Yeah, I want to say 100%. I know that's a loaded term, and I appreciate that. But there definitely is a way to make sure that our small businesses, it's enacting a plan and an understanding, kind of the four areas that I like to look at when I talk and educate to our customers. And it focuses around, you know, our network. It focuses around the devices, data and information. And then I think specifically like people. So when we look at, I guess, the network piece, that is what our system is connected to. So that network itself, whether it's a Wi-Fi connection or we're using a server or the information on all of those devices, make sure we have a solution in place that protects it, like the file transfer, like a firewall. Or if we're using a Wi-Fi connection to do all of our business, make sure it's secure. If it's going to be mobile, add a virtual private network or a VPN. I've heard different terms for it. VPN works, but what that's going to do is it's going to mask your activity if you're connecting to a Wi-Fi connection that may not be secure if you're employee on the go. And consider your website and social media presence too. In this space, your network is going to have a lot of traffic coming in and out. If you have a lot of links coming in from social media sites and they're going to a designated spot, just long and short, make sure that you are protected with a VPN firewall, that any data transfer in and out in itself is going to be clean, and you're going to have a great job of making sure that your devices, which goes back to my next point here, the devices themselves are not going to have you know, things coming in on them. And those devices, make sure you have security software on all of them. Make sure you, if you're a business that it runs transactions, your point of sale software is on a dedicated system, a specific system that's separate from everything else. That way, if you do have some sort of errant attack, it doesn't affect your whole network or suite of devices. It's just the one, and it doesn't hurt your transactions. And then also have a plan for your lost and stolen devices. It happens. You may be using a tablet at the airport, or you may be utilizing a phone in a coffee shop, and sometimes you forget it, or sometimes it gets stolen when you're not paying attention. And if it has all of your work information on there, how are you going to get that back? So make sure there's password protection. Make sure you have a way of wiping devices and tracking them if they're lost or stolen. And a lot of the solutions on the market, again, have solutions built in to do that. So we have our network protected. We have our devices with our antivirus solution and our you know, security solutions on them. But we also have information that we need to protect. So third point, sorry, this is long-winded, but the third point is we got to protect our data and information. Make sure that we have on all our devices, you know, backups and information audits. If we are tracking transactions, make sure we, you know, are able to hold on to them and archive them appropriately in a password-protected area, specifically if it's transactions with cash or credit card information. Understand what your data retention policy and disposal policies are. I think a lot of small businesses don't understand what to do with that, especially if they're brand new. I mean, you start doing this for 5 years, whatever your business of choice may be, and over time, you're going to have a backlog of transactions potentially, or work orders or contracts. And there's a lot of information on there that hackers would love to get after. So it goes beyond just maybe cloud storage or maybe a physical file that you hold on to. Just understand what you're going to do with that data, because worst case scenario, we don't want information from 3 or 4 or 5 years ago to have the potentiality to get hacked. Have a dedicated, you know, locked and secure a solution in place, whether it's a separate system or a separate drive. make sure there's security around that, because it's not just the files that we're working with today, it's also files from years ago that we need to make sure are secure and keep protected as well. So understand that the data information is really what the hackers are going to go after. We got to have a plan around that. And then lastly, our people. You know, devices are just devices, and I kind of say this in all of my training, it's the people that screw it all up. So practice clean security behavior. So make sure everybody in your company has separate and individual passwords, have some sort of plan in place to make sure passwords are updated, and, you know, employees understand that they should be more than password 1234. It should be something that's hard to figure out. Separate emails with different security solutions around that. If you diversify where your business is happening across your individuals in your company, and they're all password protected, it does a better job of, you know, covering those holes in your network potentially where it could be. And then simply train your employees and educate them. Understand that if there's a questionable email that comes into the company, or social engineering, which is something that we kind of keep our mind's eye on these days, is people try and infiltrate a company because they look you up on LinkedIn and they send you an email as if they know you and they throw a virus in there. So train our employees around that, and practice good security habits. And in truth, having kind of all of those things, again, this is long-winded, but having all of those things kind of in place, your devices, your data, your people trained, and your PCs protected, that kind of gets to that 100% you were talking about. In truth, like, we're covering everything we can, and that's the best we can do in this case. And in doing that, I think being vigilant with these efforts and mindful of how best to protect our solutions is really how we're going to put our businesses in the best place to protect from a threat.
Yeah, just, you know, all of that is just such good information. And it's things that I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I hadn't thought of that. I probably wouldn't have thought of that. It's just, you have to have, it sounds like, this layered approach to your cybersecurity kind of foundation for your company. So this is just, it's all such good pieces of information to digest for small business owners and entrepreneurs out there to take away from them and immediately, you know, go apply to their business. It's necessary. So, you know, this is just incredibly insightful. And I just really, as always, Matt, I really appreciate you joining me and getting to connect with you and hear all of these great tidbits. So thank you so much for your time. This has just been incredibly helpful and lots to have learned.
Oh, absolutely. It's my pleasure. It's what I do for a living. I enjoy it. I know security is not the sexiest topic out there, but it's definitely the thing that we all need to be mindful of. And I am raising my hand, and I have been the target of a threat happening on my system. And when it happens, you're just like, oh, crap. Now, how do I deal with this? We can all prevent that. It's just being proactive and putting things in place. But to the point, you know, I hope everybody who listened to this walked away with some information and some education. It makes my job easier when everybody's out there doing this. So I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm very happy to share this with everybody.
Awesome. So wonderful. Yes, let's go make your job easier. I think we can, we're all on it.
Yes.
But again, yes, thank you everyone so much today for listening and tuning into this episode of Tech Bites. You know, we're so excited to be able to join and bring on such great subject matter experts to talk about these super pertinent topics as technology and cybersecurity. So really excited to have had this topic on today. And if you're interested in kind of those next steps of how do I get in touch with someone from the Dell Technologies team, to talk about McAfee solutions and how to apply these cybersecurity best practices to my business, you can go to www.dell.com/startupnation and connect with a small business advisor. It's as easy as that. So again, thanks everyone so much for joining, and we'll see you next time.